This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place. Welcome to this edition of Insight IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in Orlando, Florida. Your APN hosts Mark Fletcher and Guy Clinch bring you exciting interviews with speakers, attendees, and exhibitors at this annual event. Now here's your host, Mark Fletcher.
Hey, it's Fletch with the Avaya Podcast Network, and we're here at Converge 2013 at the Gaylord Palms Resort, and we're sitting down with Phil Edholm from PKE Consulting in Pleasanton, California. Phil, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Fletch. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So you're giving one of the keynotes today at 1 o'clock, and you've got an interesting outlook of 2013. That's the future of telecom. You're one of those guys that I love to listen to because you're what I call a five-year-out guy, and you've got the strategy and vision. So what are the three big trends that you see out in all of this?
Let me talk just a little bit for a second about what the presentation is. So this is intended to be, we're actually doing two sessions back-to-back. It's intended to be a longer-term vision, 3 to 5 your vision, where the industry is going, what are the key trends. One of the things I talked to the IAUG board and the IAUG staff about was really bringing back to IAUG kind of for the members, helping them with this kind of longer term outlook of, you know, what the industry is, where it's going, what's important, really from the perspective that, you know, it helps them get beyond being operationalized to operating a PBX to really helping management and developing their own careers.
Sure.
So talk about the three big trends. So I think, you know, what's interesting about the industry today is that you can no longer separate IT and telecommunications. If I would say there's a mega trend in our industry in telecom, it's that there is no telecom industry anymore. It is, you know, information and interaction technology are essentially together now as a single industry. But if you look at that industry from a high level, you know, overall, I'll argue there are three big trends. The first is cloud, the second is ubiquitous bandwidth, and the third is the absolute explosion of devices. And I'll talk quite a bit about this during the presentation, but, you know, just very briefly, you know, devices are absolutely exploding. Numbers are that there will be 4 billion new smartphones sold in 2016.
Wow.
Incredible numbers. We're over one device per human being on the planet. You think about the fact that over the past 13 years, we've had 4 successive generations of companies owning the smartphone market. Started with Palm, then it went to be BlackBerry, then it went to be iPhone, now it's Android. What a lot of people don't know is that the Mozilla guys are actually building a new mobile operating system that is designed to be lower cost than Android and is being adopted in China. There are 650 million mobile users in China, 650 million registrations on China Mobile.
Wow.
So this explosive devices. Devices are changing from being computers to being very intelligent displays with HTML5 and transitioning there. Plus, it's becoming more than just a computer or a tablet. It's my television.
Sure.
So a huge explosion of devices. Bandwidth is becoming ubiquitous. By ubiquitous bandwidth, what I mean is the bandwidth we can get, how much of it, and how often we can get it has changed. Over the last 30 years, we've gone from, you know, voice bandwidth of 16 to 64 kilobits 40% of the time, you know, when you were at home, when you were in the office, when you could find a payphone, to today it's 98 to 99% of the time I've got 2 megabits of bandwidth.
And for the younger generation, a payphone is that square metal box that you don't see anymore.
That you walk around and you have to find.
And put money into.
Yeah, you actually can see them. A lot of times you walk down, there's all these little pigeonholes, and there's nothing in them. And that's where the payphones used to be.
Used to be, right, yeah. They're turning them into charging stations at the airport.
Exactly,
now.
Exactly. But the point here is that, you know, bandwidth is now becoming ubiquitous. And
right.
What's interesting is if you look at your device, the vast majority of applications on your device have no value unless they're connected.
Right.
And actually, of course, what's really interesting for communications is there's absolutely zero value in communications if you're not connected to a network so you can't actually communicate with someone. So, you know, what it actually does is begins to change the way we think about devices and centralization. The third is, of course, cloud. And, cloud is in many ways back to the future. You know, 30 years ago, we had a mainframe with terminals and if you look at the processing, memory, and storage, they were all in the core, and cloud really takes us back to that level. So I'll talk a bit about those three, how they're changing the industry, and a lot of the things that I think people in the IAUG members, as part of their planning for their organization's success, need to think about, things they need to understand about that. Way to think about BYOD in that context, and how you need to think about it very differently than a lot of people think about it today.
So. Sure, sure. Well, yeah, and the technology is changing too, right? You can't roll out all of this new stuff on the existing technology. So where's the tech going?
Absolutely. So there really are three technologies I'm going to talk about today. I mean, obviously there are a huge number of technologies in our industry, from VMware and virtualization to, centralization in the data center environment. But there really are three technologies that I think for the IAUG members, they need to be cognizant of that they probably are not always cognizant of. The first is a thing called Volte. I love Volte. It's Volte. It sounds kind of Dracula, Dracularian.
Yeah. It's European.
So Volte is very simple. It's voice over LTE.
Right.
The little known fact of today's networks is that the 2G side of those is actually the voice side that's still packetized voice that was a 1990s technology.
Right.
It's been augmented by 3G and now 4G data, but it's actually two networks. Now, from a carrier perspective, that actually has two major disadvantages. I mean, the first is you have to put twice as much equipment on most of the cell towers to be able to support both frequencies. But what's worse is you're actually using a frequency for relatively inefficient transport because the digital voice technology is, in fact, 30 years old.
Sure.
It was developed back in the 80s. It came to market in the 90s. So it really is a lot less efficient technology. So what Volte does is very simply enables the LTE channel in IP to handle real time. And that is going to have a profound impact on the network. It'll not only enable the carriers to do real time there, but will enable a whole next generation of OTT over the top services.
Sure, sure, sure.
The second technology is one that I think is not going to be maybe as big in North America, but called RCS, Rich Communications Suite. RCS is a GSMA activity, the GSM association that drives GSM. What RCS is really, if you want to think about it, it's FaceTime writ large across multiple phones.
Okay.
So the idea is if you're on your cell phone and I'm on my cell phone, regardless of being on separate carriers, I can click a button and we can have a video call between our cell phones, we can send files between our cell phones, we can send IMs between our cell phones, etc. The thing that's going to make this very interesting is coming back to the point earlier. One of the things we don't think about is that America, North America, is actually a relatively small wireless market. What's interesting is, Verizon and AT&T are 19 and 21 in terms of worldwide number of subscribers.
Really?
Telenor in Norway is bigger than either Verizon or AT&T. Now, most of that is actually not in Norway. It's actually in Eastern Europe and in Africa. But, you look at China Mobile, it's 650 million subscribers. They're over three times larger than Verizon and AT&T combined. So I think you're going to see RCS not necessarily be big in North America, but it may be big internationally in countries like India and China and, in some of those regions.
Well, yeah, and they've had the device saturation there for years now where it's been more than one device per
year. Exactly, and that's where you're going to see these new technologies like the Mozilla operating system. Then the third place I'm going to spend quite a bit more time on this is WebRTC. And the reason I'm going to spend time on WebRTC is I think WebRTC is not a technology. I think it's a transformation. It's a revolution. And it's something that I don't know that we've seen in telecom since the transition from analog to digital.
Wow.
In fact, I'll make the argument that I'm not even sure we've ever seen what's going to happen in telecom in the next 5 years. So WebRTC is very simple. In 2009, Google looked at what you could do with the browser and what you could do with the PC and decided there are certain things you could do with the PC you couldn't do with the browser, and one of those was real time. So they decided that they wanted to make the browser capable of doing real time so you could do real time without having to have a full-blown PC. They bought a company called GIPS, Global IP Sound. Avaya and Nortel customers will be very familiar with Global IP Sound, OIP Solutions as they were called. In all of the Nortel products, all of the Avaya soft clients, basically, they bought GIPS and within 9 months open sourced all the GIPS technology, IPR, and software.
Wow.
And it's now in Chrome and it's in Mozilla. And what it is actually a very simple way that if two browsers are connected to a server, that server with about 20 lines of JavaScript can cause a video conference to happen between the two browsers.
So it's simple.
It's very simple. And by the way, it's not 6,000 or 7,000 SIP developers or 100,000 Java developers. It's 20 to 30 million JavaScript developers that can start writing software.
Now, the thing that I see, the big controversy is the codec that gets used.
The codec is a controversy because of two reasons. The 264 codec actually has a licensing policy that licenses it per instantiation. So if you run it in a browser, the browser has to pay. So obviously for a company like Mozilla, an organization like Mozilla,
sure,
that's not for profit, that's an issue. You know, what Google has done is they built the VP8 codec. They've licensed the MPEG-LA license for that. Nokia has tried to protest, though there are a lot of people who don't think that they're going to be very successful there. Disadvantage to VP8 is that it's not in hardware in most of the small devices.
Right.
So I think this is going to potentially be resolved. One of the things actually at the WebRTC conference in Atlanta, we have a panel on that entire topic and actually beginning to have some discussions about, you know, how can we get this impact in a way. Turns out that you can use either codec. It's just which codec is mandatory in the browser
to
be available.
And that Atlanta conference, I heard, is sold out.
It's sold out in terms of sponsors, still opportunities. And in fact, there is a code and for Avaya users to actually be able to go to the conference and get a 2-for-1. So you can actually take a manager, a strategy person, and a developer to go. But the thing about WebRTC is that what WebRTC changes is the world of communications from being server to server to being direct to the server to communicate with. So, you know, if you think about the way we communicate today, when I dial a phone number, I'm asking my server, which is actually a service provider,
right,
to connect me to your service, to talk to your service provider to connect you and I together. So I'm asking my server to go out. You know, if you think about it, back in 1990, that was the way information worked.
Sure.
I had a server and you had a server, and if I wanted to get information, our servers had to talk, and that was really hard. I think we called it federation, if I remember correctly. there was a lot
and
of...
sometimes it worked.
And sometimes it worked, but not very often. There is one technology that's the vestigial technology of that point in time, and that's email.
Right.
I mean, email is really the last technology. What happened was the web came along in 1992, 93, and the world changed. And if you think about the way the world works today, you actually point your browser where the information is, and you have a connection with the information source, and that information source may tell you where to go next, but it doesn't stand between you and where to go next.
Sure, sure.
And so if you think about it, WebRTC is going to do exactly the same thing to communications. So instead of having my service provider that I always go through, or my PBX, or my UC system that I always go through when I'm going to want to talk to Bob, I'm going to point my browser at Bob's server, and my communications experience with Bob is going to be defined by his server. When Bob wants to talk to me, he's going to point his browser at my server, and the communication experience is going to be defined by my server.
Right.
This has incredible impact on the network, on the overall system. I mean, the first is obviously, you know, we're going to go from a small number of service providers to literally potentially millions.
Millions, yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is that the experience is going to be defined by the other endpoint. My client is not going to be the same. Now, by the way, before anybody gets afraid of that, I mean, just think about how many websites you go to every day, how different they are, and how you figure out how to navigate them. It's going to be actually easier to do it on the communication side. But the other thing to think about, and this is important for the IAUG members, is all of a sudden when your CEO gets invited to a meeting at Bob's company, he's going to experience Bob's communication system,
sure,
UC experience, web file sharing, and he's going to be comparing it to what he gets in his office every day.
This will
be the first time in our industry that customers actually get exposed to what the other customers have that's, in fact, the competition. I think it's going to have a dramatic effect on satisfaction levels in the industry. And of course, the fact that it's not browser-to-browser, it's peer-to-peer, so it doesn't need to be a browser. It can be a media server, it can be any other device. And when we think about browsers, we tend to think about PCs and smartphones and tablets, but if you buy a Samsung TV today, in fact, all the smart TVs,
sure,
have dual core, 2 gigahertz processors with 2 gigs of memory. The next version is actually gonna be quad core. with 4 gigabytes of memory. And in fact, if you buy the 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 series this next year, they all have cameras built in. They're all HD cameras. So all of a sudden, that television in your living room is now a real-time communication endpoint.
It's an interactive
and
portal.
So yeah. I think, thinking about this, you know, how does it change the world when the devices you're interacting with have HTML5, where you can define a very high-end experience? You know, Avaya, for example, has done work with Flare on HTML5. And WebRTC, so all of a sudden, any device your users have, can be a real-time device. It changes that whole BYOD model. You don't need to control the endpoint; you just treat it as an endpoint using these new technologies.
It really becomes a BYOS. Bring your own screen. I'll put the content on it.
Your own display, not device.
It's a display.
There you go. So
that's really cool.
So we'll talk about that. I think it'll be a great conversation, and hopefully for those who have an opportunity to come by and listen to it and think a bit about the future and about where we're going, and we'll talk about that and some other topics as well.
Fantastic. Talking with Phil Edholm, who is the principal consultant at PKE Consulting out of Pleasanton, California. Always interesting stuff, Phil. It just amazed me. I enjoyed it the most when I used to work for you because it challenged me every single day to come up with something innovative. So
that's good. I appreciate that. Fletch, well, you have a great day, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and the IAUG family.
No problem. So that's today in Sun 3 and 4, starting at 1 p.m. at the first session, and the second session is at 2:15.
Right, and it's actually going to be almost one continuous session, so I'd almost suggest if you can come to both, but if you can't come to one or the other, look forward to seeing you.
Excellent. The Future of Telecom, Phil Edholm, Outlook 2013. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
This has been Inside IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at avaya.com/APN.